I'm inspired to talk about Star Tours because on Tuesday night I attended a Star Wars bar trivia.
Ooh.
We got second place.
Oh, wow. What was like the most fun question that you knew the answer to?
They did this like halftime round where he played like five Star Wars songs, which sounds like it sounds very hard, but I like knew four of the five. I was pretty proud of myself.
Oh.
There was one topic that was like about creatures, like the name of creatures, and like there was no way I was going to know those.
I would feel a little confident in that one.
You would.
Well, I'm like 100% confident in like ships.
Mm.
So if you need to know like the model of a ship or the name of it.
Yeah.
I'm golden. Creatures, not as helpful. I know a bantha.
Mm-hmm.
And
a porg.
A porg. Yep, that's true. The newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
The rancor.
Okay.
Which is that big thing that Luke fought in the pit.
Oh, I did not know the name of him.
Mm-hmm. And then the, what are those things called? The,
Sarlacc.
Oh, the Sarlacc pit, yeah. And then the little things that you ride on Hoth. What were those called? The,
Tauntauns.
The Wampa?
No, that's what you fight. The Tauntauns is what he sliced open and took a nap in.
Cheryl, you know a lot about Star Wars.
Do you ever see something that you're like, oh, I want to buy this, and then you don't for whatever reason, and then it haunts you the rest of your life?
Yeah.
One of those things is, I saw, I think it was in a Sky Mall magazine, it was a sleeping bag of a Tauntaun.
Oh, that's so perfect.
I'm going to get on eBay.
Because you slice it, you zip it open, and you slide into it.
Sleeping bag. Let's see how quickly we can get this to you.
Thank you. That's exactly the merchandise that I want.
But we're not talking about sleeping bags.
Not anymore.
Tonight we're talking about the original Star Wars attraction at Walt Disney World. Star Tours.
Yay!
That's all I got.
I'm Molly.
I'm Ashby.
I'm Cheryl.
Bum 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 bum.
Welcome aboard. Please keep all hands, arms, legs, and feet inside at all times. Podcast, you are all clear.
Now, so what is everyone's relationship to Star Tours? Is it something you seek out? Is it going to be one of your... Oh, never mind. Fast passes aren't a thing.
Oops.
I'm sure it has Lightning Lane now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Lightning!
Lightning Lane! Pew, pew, pew! Ker-chow!
Ker-chow.
Cha-ching!
Yeah. Listen, I'm no expert, okay? But I do have George on the old text message ready to go
if we have any questions.
Yeah, Mr. Lucas.
good. Because we probably will have some questions.
I walked with him at Shanghai, remember? Did I tell you that story? I think we talked about this a million times.
Yeah. No, just once.
I played with his kid.
What?
His wife was
what?
There.
You didn't talk about the kid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know this cool. story at all.
He has Wait. Children?
What? He has, yeah, though he had a son. But yeah, when they were at Shanghai, I was, you know, that was like the tour guide for that group. I'll check in with George if we have any deep questions we need to ask.
Okay, yeah, have him ready to go. Can you up him? Give him a quick fax.
Yeah, let me just
make sure.
Okay, got it. Yeah, he's ready.
Cheryl, what's your relationship to Star Tours? What are your thoughts?
I really loved the original Star Tours because it wasn't 3D, and now I can't ride it as frequently.
Because you can't see 3D?
No, because it makes me feel sick.
Oh, okay.
Even without the 3D glasses, unfortunately.
The glasses?
Yeah,
the glasses.
Simulators. Simulators. I don't do well in simulators, but I do very much enjoy the ride. I support it immensely.
Okay. Ashby, what about you?
Yeah, you know, here's the weird thing for me, and I don't know if other... I'd love to hear if other people have this weird relationship with Star Tours. So I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Always have been, ever since I was a kid. Loved the originals, I love the prequels, I love whatever. If it's Star Wars, I love it. Star Tours is like, and I don't know if it's just because it's like old technology in the fact that it's like an old, it's a, you know, a simulator pod, right? So even, you know, back when it was the original Star Tours, it was like, oh, what's the wait for that? Okay. I mean, I guess, like, if there's no wait, like, let's go do it. It's fun. But I just never, I don't know, I just never really got into it like I thought I should for something that was related to Star Wars, yeah, if that makes sense.
It does. I actually feel similarly. I when I was looking into Star Tours, or when we decided we were going to talk about this, I was thinking about how I feel about Star Tours. And on paper, I love that it's Star Wars characters set inside the Star Wars universe, but like, mm-hmm, on the side. You're going, yeah, on a you're going on a vacation, basically. It's explaining how we in the Star Wars world, like, universe, would get around to other planets. That's what you're going on a trip. Mm-hmm. And then things go wrong, as they do on theme park attractions. But so on paper, I'm like, I love that about Star Tours. Like, it's the, its own separate thing. It kind of world builds a little. But I think what I like about it on paper is why emotionally it's been harder to connect with it, because it's such low stakes. Like, you sort of see your friends that you like, but not really.
Right, right.
It's like the opposite of what Galaxy's Edge is, which is like, right, immersing yourself, right, in this area. Because in the two versions of the ride I've been on, so Disneyland, it's in Tomorrowland, and at Disney World, it's in Hollywood Studios. And it's the exterior of it is as if it's a Star Wars set. And so you're, yes, just kind of, yes, there's this weird mismatch between, are we like going to watch Star Wars being filmed? And it's like, no, mm-hmm, no. Now you're just supposed to be inside the Star Wars universe and you're going on vacation. There's just like, it never syncs up emotionally. And that's why I agree. I think it's fun. I think I like going on it. But if the wait's too long, yeah, probably going to skip it.
That's a good point. I was thinking about it while you were talking about like how the front really just doesn't bring you in. I'll even go further and say that the ride sometimes feels like it's just shoving characters in my face. Mm-hmm. In certain parts, right? Like, it's like, oh, there's, you, yeah, know, Darth Vader, or there's what. So it does feel a little gimmicky at times. And of course, now, you know, with what we have at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, like.
And it is kind of weird, though, that now in both of those parks, too, there's such an intense Star Wars presence. And then there's just, like, the weird Star Tours in another land. Not that, right, they would realistically relocate that ride either, but it just, yeah, it's just a little bizarre, honestly. But I do love it. Like, mm-hmm, I think I would, mm-hmm, be sad if it shut down.
I think that it makes a little bit more sense at Hollywood Studios than it does at Disneyland, because they've changed it so much that now, you know, they've incorporated Batuu, which is really cool, and it's almost like you're landing there, but it's a little sad because you land there and then you also have to, like, go through the tunnel to get there.
Right.
And you're like, should we go to Baseline Tap House? Or
instead, yeah, like, is that really what we want to do?
Let's go pick up Cheryl at Baseline before we head in.
Absolutely.
So the very first Star Tours was actually in Disneyland. That's the original, in Tomorrowland. Prior to that, Disneyland's Tomorrowland was a little notorious for being, you know, kind of lame, honestly. Like, people didn't spend a ton of time there. And this was in, like, the 70s, in early 80s. And behind the scenes, there were some things going on at Disneyland. So, are you guys familiar with Tony Baxter, the Imagineer?
Yes.
So, he was working on some lands that never came to be in Disneyland. And also, some Imagineers were getting introduced to this, like, military flight simulator. And this company that made the flight simulator was trying to sell some to Disney. And Disney Imagineering was like, well, we kind of got sick and we don't really know what we'd use this for. And it just, like, the company was putting out kind of shitty live action movies. Like, things were not going very well for Disney at the time. Like, it was a little bit of a valley for the company. But things started to shake up a little bit when Michael Eisner became the new CEO. Mm-hmm. Anyone want to give, like, a brief 12-second summary of what Michael Eisner did for the Disney company?
I mean, I think we've talked about him before back in, like, episode, what, one or two?
Yeah.
Our love for him.
Yeah.
But also, like, our hatred of him.
He's, like, one of the most awkward people in the entire world, and he was a huge dweeb. But he revitalized the Disney company and, like, injected a ton of energy and movies, and he kind of brought about, like, the Renaissance era of Disney animation and a lot of investment in modernization in the parks. And so, yeah, he was good for Disney for a long time.
And probably for a lot of people listening, he was the face of Disney.
Yeah.
You know, that's for me growing up, that's all it was like, Wonderful World of Disney, there's Michael Eisner talking to you, you know, beforehand.
Totally.
And in the commercial breaks.
And he was great, like, until he wasn't. And then he stepped aside in, like, the early 2000s-ish, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And that's when Iger came on. And that brought out a different era in the parks. But anyway, so about this time, so here's, like, a funny legend about Eisner. Is that he would take his, like, teenage son to Disneyland and be like, what should I do? Because Eisner came from, I believe, Paramount. He was, like, a movie guy. So he didn't really know.
Entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really know about theme parks, even though now he was very passionate about it. He just didn't know. And apparently, I'm going to put this in the same category as, like, did Disney sit on a bench at the park watching his daughters on a carousel? Maybe. Maybe he did. And also maybe this happened, but and apparently this Eisner's teenage son was like, Disneyland sucks. Like, it's for babies. Like, there's nothing for me to do here. And so in the next big yearly pitch, his son was actually in the meetings and someone brought up pitching to doing something with Star Wars. And his son was like, yeah, let's do that. Which is pretty cool. And then Eisner called in a favor to his good friend George Lucas, because Eisner was kind of pivotal in getting Indiana Jones made. So they were kind of buddy-buddy already. George Lucas was super into the idea of getting a Star Wars attraction into Disney World, but wanted it to be a really kind of headliner, technologically advanced attraction, which leads us back to the old simulator, the motion simulator that was demoed a couple years prior to that, and they got to work.
Oh, interesting.
Boom.
So Cheryl, you're going to love this fun fact. It was kind of a package deal. So George Lucas could do this brand new technologically advanced Star Wars attraction if he also got involved with the being developed Captain EO 3D show.
Yeah, I was just about to say, no wonder it makes sense that George Lucas got two different attractions at the same time.
Exactly.
They were buddy-buddy, yeah.
They were buddy-buddy. And so he, if I didn't make that clear, so George Lucas actually wrote Captain EO, which is hilarious. I wonder.
Makes sense.
Does it make sense?
Well, I mean, if you think about, like, you know, Star Wars is not, like, in my opinion, not the best written material ever, but it's a great story. It's a space western, you know, it's been done before, you know?
Yeah.
And so Captain EO is just another, like, one of those wackadoodle
things
that he's done in his career.
With, like, a good use of Muppets, right?
Yeah.
Wait, the Muppets were in it?
Doesn't Captain EO have, like, funny little
puppets? Yes, Hooter and Flutterby. Hooter. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No, I meant them. I thought you meant the real Muppets. Like,
no, not the Muppets, but it's Jim Kermit Henson wasn't in it. Puppetry. Isn't it? Or isn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, I think it was up. Jim Henson, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might be, but yeah.
Like, are there other brands of puppets? Like, I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast where we're like, maybe, I don't know, sure.
Where we only researched a very little bit.
We're 60% on everything we say.
Well, to be fair, we didn't, this isn't a podcast about Captain EO, okay? This is about Star Tours today.
Yeah.
We don't know.
So that's kind of how Star Tours came to be. It opened in 1987 in Tomorrowland in Disneyland and was a immediate success. Apparently, like, for months, the wait to ride was like 6 hours every day.
Whoa. Oof,
good lordy.
So then the Hollywood Studios version opened in 1989. Is that
2 years?
When did Hollywood Studios open? I think it opened in May of 1989.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting to get a new ride 6 months in, but whatever.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if it was like, was it one of those scenarios where it wasn't quite ready?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then they were like, this one's going to open up, you know, 6 months later, surprise.
Because that would be a quick turnaround if they weren't planning for it.
Right. Right. And, like, I guess it's a Star Wars thing, because, like, Rise of the Resistance opened up later, too.
The curse of Star Wars.
The Lucas curse.
Star Wars. So sorry.
I was waiting for, like, there should have been, like, an Emperor Palpatine in there. No, that's Yoda. Star Wars! Why can't I, like, yeah... Can't come up with his voice. Beep, boop, pop, boop. Translates to Star Wars.
What makes me laugh so much about you doing all those beep boops is all I think about with Star Wars is the chime sound, and I cannot recreate it. I tried a little.
Oh.
I was like,
wait, what? Boop, what the?
Boop, yeah, you're right. It's bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing. I've heard it. Like, it plays on people's phones.
Yeah, it was like a flight. And so, like, they had boarding announcements, and every time it would be like, ba-de-de-do.
Four Star Tours?
Yeah, I'll find it.
Yeah, I was pulling it up right now. Let's see if I can play it. Oh, here we go. Okay. Let's see what this sounds like.
That's it!
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. Let me play it one more time.
And that's like, the safety.
Welcome to Star Tours!
Yeah, I nailed that.
You did. Yeah, you actually did.
Attention, Star Tours. To the dark side.
Power.
Power.
God.
Sorry. It's been a while. I have one more fun fact, but I feel like it's going to, like, it's going to break this fun, and it's no one's going to care.
No,
but
here it is.
Oh, no, now it's I'm ready. I'm prepped for it.
So Star Tours in Tomorrowland, in Disneyland, replaced Adventures Through Inner Space.
Oh, what was that about?
I'm sorry, was that a thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So the ride itself was like, so what's interesting about this, the original attraction, it was the very first use of the Omnimover ride vehicle. It basically looks like Doom Buggies.
Hmm.
And the premise of the ride is you go through this microscope and you're like shrunk down to the size of some tiny thing. And you like go through a snowflake as a teeny tiny little atom or something, molecule. I don't know. That's that ride. Pretty boring.
Oh.
Important in Disney history because of the Omnimover, the ride was totally replaced by the simulator, but apparently the queue itself was extremely similar. So people who had been on the previous ride walked into this queue and you're like, wait, what? Like, what? Why does this look exactly the same? Should we talk about the queue, actually?
Sure.
So I admit I've been watching some videos of this, the original version, but I don't remember that queue. In the original version, you're kind of going through a droid depot, essentially a bunch of droids being built, being put together. And now in the updated version, it's like a cargo hold. So there's a bunch of boxes, there's some droids around, but it's a little bit different. But it's people are, you know, the droids are talking to you. It's pretty interesting. They're a bunch of...
It's like a, not a travel agency. Well, it's like an airport. And when you first enter, you hear them talk about, visit the icy moons of Hoth. And they have like a, yeah, right? And then it goes into the droid depot.
Which was always a little weird to me. I never understood that transition either. Of like, oh, I'm at a, you know, spaceport, and then, what is this facility that I'm in now?
Right, it's not like at the airport they take you down into, like, baggage.
Right. Yeah, because it is like a baggage claim, but of, like, droid parts.
It would be much more appropriate to take you to, like, the cantina bar, like, before you get on your flight.
Yes, yeah.
Or, like, the Star Wars version of, like, a Hudson News would be really fun.
Oh, my God, yes.
But, you know, no one asked us. Obviously.
It would be like the Jawa, I'm terrible with wordplay here.
I just, all I want is for Cheryl to do the impression of the Phantom Menace guy again.
The credits?
Mm-hmm.
Republic credits!
Yes.
They don't work here.
No, they don't.
Annie. Yeah.
So it would be his. It would be his.
Oh yeah.
Storm.
Oh, what absolutely. Was his name? Watto. Oh, God.
Watto.
They actually sell little Wattos at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Do they really? The little like is it a little stuffed one? Like yep. the little toys? Oh, I want one of those.
Oh, I got one. I was so excited.
And you actually see what you think is your ship in that original room too, right? Where they're showing. Like the previews or like the destinations you could go to.
Yes. The Star Speeder.
Thank you. The Star Speeder. You actually see the Star Speeder. Now it's not what you ride in. It looks pretty darn close, but it's a much more beautiful version of it.
Yes. And fun fact, so in the current version, it's a Star Speeder 1000.
Okay.
The OG
version.
Oh,
that's right, yeah.
And when it was made, they were Star Speeder 3000. So in theory, the current Star Tours takes place before the old Star Tours, even though that's not a real thing. Which is funny, though, because the characters that come out into it span all sorts of decades.
Yeah.
We have Darth Maul and Finn all at the same time. But who's to say, because I haven't watched The Clone Wars, so I don't actually know what happened to Darth Maul, and he may not actually be dead.
Who wants to talk about the actual ride vehicles of Star Tours?
Well, you know, the one thing I will say that I remember a lot of people telling me was that if you remember old Body Wars from Wonders of Life Pavilion at Epcot, RIP, it was basically like the same technology.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where when Body Wars went down, they were just basically like, oh, hey, can we have some of those parts over there? Because we got to maintain our ride over here at Star Tours. So it's a simulator, you know, basically like a simulator pod. You've probably seen them at the mall, right? This is a very terrible comparison, but like,
cool,
you know,
mall.
Those little... Those like 4K or whatever they call them, like arcade things where you can like sit in this little pod and it's on like this like hydraulic system that goes back and forth and left and right and all that stuff. Just a bigger version of that, right? As far as the technology goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's synced up to a video. So it makes you believe that you're in like a airplane like spaceship vessel.
Yeah.
And you're looking out the front window of it.
I would say like at the time when this came out, it was probably like, it's like, this is way better technology as far as like, if you think of like Back to the Future, you know, that was a great ride, but also like a giant screen. You know what I mean? Like instead of like this one, you had your individual screens for each pod and it felt more like you were inside of a real vehicle.
Yeah.
Versus some of the other 3D type rides that they did where it was just like a giant screen and then you kind of moved around in some sort of mechanism to that big screen.
And honestly, like, it was, you know, besides the motion sickness thing, especially if I were a younger kid, I do think this ride system is still very impressive. Yeah, it was sophisticated for the 80s, and I actually still think it's pretty sophisticated. It just is a ride system. Like, we just have better ride systems now in the sense of just more comfortable.
Right.
Pandora is also a motion simulator, but Flight of Passage. But it's significantly more comfortable. And, yeah, I don't know. Just we've improved upon the motion simulator experience, I'd say.
The nice thing about Star Tours, though, is that they were able to upgrade the screen. Like, but yes, I agree with you. It's not the most comfortable. I mean, granted, if you compare it to probably what a spaceship of this type felt like, if you were, you know, booking transport, it probably is how this would feel.
I mean, honestly, last time I rode Star Tours was I had flown down to Florida probably the day before, and I walked into Star Tours, sat down, put my backpack like below me in the little net, you know, and I thought to myself, this is actually more comfortable than the flight I was just came down on.
Right.
I mean, so it, because that's what it is, it truly feels like airplane seats. They're like not very comfortable. They're bolted to the floor. Do you guys happen to remember the capacity of this ride? Is it three rows? It's actually pretty large. It's like it always surprises rows. Me.
Yeah, it's and, pretty
like, the
big.
The back
yeah.
row is longer than the other one, so it's like maybe 7 or 8 people, and then 9, I think, in the back row.
It definitely is at least 8 because it's one of those where, unless you're traveling with 8 people in your party, you're going to be like seated next to another family, which is always just a little different at Disney World. You're used to doing 4s or 2s, you know. I don't know. I just kind of remember that, especially when you're waiting in line before you go in to watch the safety spiel. You're like, who are these people behind me?
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, I want to say that too. So after the safety spiel, which you're watching on the screens above you,
The safety spiel used to be my favorite part, and now it's fine. It's more animated, and they have, like, you know, we've been able to add CGI and stuff, but have you watched it recently, the old one?
Yeah, yes. It's very good.
So wonderful. The lady, I love her hair.
Yes.
And then, like, just the characters that they use in the simulator to, like, tell you to stow things underneath or not to smoke or not to flash photography. And they have, like, actual characters from Star Tours doing all of these things.
Yeah. But they still have some characters in the new one, right?
I think so.
So yeah, in the safety spiel, you see aliens who look more like humans, and then aliens who look more like Star Wars characters, Muppets, puppets. Kind of acting out the best way to behave on the flight. It's hilarious. It's very clever. The whole thing does have a very vintage vibe to it, which I like that they maintain that.
Yeah.
My favorite part though is once those doors open and you are entering your ship, you're kind of on this in-between area.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting to me. Don't stop and look because you're supposed to be getting on the thing. But if you can just take note of that next time, I just think it's really neat. It's kind of a unique, because I'm thinking about other, I guess I would compare it to Mission Space, where when you're getting on your little capsule in Mission Space, right, you're seeing kind of a raw ride system in front of you. There's a little bit of theme in there, but with this simulator, it's the same. And I just think that's kind of a unique opportunity. Can we talk about DJ Rex? Can we talk about Rex really quickly?
Yes, yes.
So in the original version of this ride, there was a droid and his name was RX-24. We knew him as Rex, and he was a brand new pilot, not very sure of himself. And he was our flight pilot, and right off the bat he messes up. He like goes into an unauthorized area, he runs into all this trouble, and that's kind of what kickstarts the original storyline of Star Tours.
Real quick about Rex, fun fact, do you know who voiced him?
Pee Wee Herman, I don't know his real name.
Yeah, Paul Reubens, yeah, mm-hmm. Paul Reubens.
Which I kind of hate that I know that, I guess. I just like, like, no, I just want those to be separate characters, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I don't know when I don't like when I know who voices my favorite characters.
I remember, like, when I heard him the first time, I was like, oh, that is, yeah, that's got to be him, or someone very similar to him.
Or someone doing an impression of him. Like, it's right. Very, yeah. And I remember this version of the ride, and I liked it. I thought it was fun. I think going back to what I said earlier of, like, this is a new Star Wars character. He doesn't exist in any of the movies, and I liked meeting him. I thought he was a good addition. In the mid, like 2009, I guess, or 2010 is when they announced that they were going to be changing Star mm-hmm. Tours, and we found out that Rex was going away, and I think that's really sad.
It was. He was a fun character.
He was, and the replacement is fine. We'll talk about that, but the best news to come out of the past couple years is Rex got a new job.
Good job, Rex.
In the Disney park, so he's not a pilot because he was bad at that. He was very bad at it, but instead he found a job as a DJ in Oga's Cantina on Batuu, Star Wars Galaxy's
yes.
Edge.
Yes.
And
love it.
He's so good. I didn't think I loved, I enjoyed Rex, but then I went to Oga's and like standing right by Rex, and I got emotional. Like, it was so good to see him. It was so good to hear him. And he played really good music. So there we mm-hmm. are. Let's talk about the film itself, like the ride movie. Mm-hmm. So the original one, Rex is your pilot. He's messes up. We get kind of sucked into a battle naturally.
Yes.
And we, I think what was really cool for audiences at the time was that we fly through that same like canyon on the Death Star with that kind of like iconic shot where it blows up. And I think that was a way to link it emotionally. And something that was also neat about this ride is the Lucasfilm people were brought in to film the movie. This was something that was developed by them. And they needed to make it appear kind of like from a first person vantage point that it was seamless. So they had to make a 5-minute, like a star travel that appeared to be one shot using the practical effects that they used to make Star Wars in the 70s and 80s. So it was apparently pretty tricky. As you rewatch it, it's interesting to kind of notice where the cuts are. And that's where Rex was a wonderful pilot because he would run into a door or he would, you know, he would run into what was like ice meteors or something. He would run into one, and that was a way for the filmmakers to actually make those cuts and cut to a different scene. So pretty impressive. The days before all CGI, just kind of the way they had to be extremely creative in the filmmaking. So that was neat. But like we mentioned, the Star Wars got a new story in 2011. And officially... Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say, so on the original, this is just a fun thing that I kind of thought that was interesting. So, you know, there's not a lot as far as people from the Star Wars universe that are in the original one, right? Mm-hmm. We had C-3PO, we had R2-D2, we had Chewie, Chewbacca, and then there was Vader as well. But really the only three actors from Star Wars universe, I'm sorry, four, there was four. Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, Warwick Davis, because Wicket was in it, Kenny Baker, who does R2-D2, and then Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca. So that was it. There was no Mark Hamill. There was no Carrie Fisher. You know, it was a little more low key. And I only say that now because when we get to the new one, it's gonna pop.
Oh, yeah.
And before we get to the new one, I want to mention when they announced that Star Tours was going to be rethemed or reimagined or whatever, they threw a party for Star Tours. It was called The Last Tour of Endor. Did you guys know about that?
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
I actually went to it because it sounded so cool. And this was back when like Hollywood studios used to do like Star Wars weekends and Super Soap weekends. So they had a lot of Star Wars-y things that they could do. This was where like Hyperspace Hoopla kind of started, and they had this.
Oh yeah.
I never saw this again, but they had the craziest like show where like they had Padme and all of the females singing Single Ladies by Beyonce. Like,
Yeah.
It was the strangest footage I've ever seen in my life.
And so it was all a chance to kind of celebrate and have your last tour of Endor. But the thing that I loved the most was they had a showing of the Indiana Jones Epic Sun Spectacular, but they had Star Wars all in it because it's Harrison Ford, you know, Indiana Jones. Yeah. So like, Han Solo was and they were rolling with the ball, and Seth Green was there, and Anthony Daniels was there, and George Lucas was there. You can find videos online, but it was the craziest event that I'd ever attended that I was like, how is this real?
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. So they did a big celebration for the retheming and the closing of that attraction, mostly I think because Star Wars fans are so insane that they wanted to capitalize off of it, but also do something fun for them.
The other funny thing about this ride is, when it started, George Lucas said, I want this ride to like grow and adapt. And because it is screen-based or software-based, we can do that. And I feel like so many Disney attractions say that, like, we're going to swap it out and all this stuff. And they don't. But Star Tours did, which is pretty good. I mean, it took 20 years.
But... Listen, they got to it eventually.
Yeah, they did get to it. And good for them. and they wanted to originally do it in the late 90s. George Lucas actually shared with Disney Imagineers some footage of The Phantom Menace before it was released. And he was like, wow, pod racing. God, what do we think? You know, could we do this? And Disney declined because they didn't want to go all in on like the first prequel without seeing how other scenes kind of unfolded. Mm-hmm. It really was smart. And so like in the early 2000s then, or kind of near, again, like 2007, 8, 9, obviously all the sequels had been out. And instead of just doing a new story, they landed on the idea of this like scene matrix, where it's like a three scene combination. And so it feels very random. It feels like you get a different ride every time. Although I feel like I get the same ride every time, but whatever.
I know. I always think like somebody's lying because yeah. I get the same one every single time.
Yeah. I feel like you get at least two of the same scenes every time and maybe different. I don't know. I feel like we could have a cast member on and they can maybe explain how that works better. But that was very, very unique and a good opportunity for them to make a big change. The other big change, like I said, Rex is out of a job. and instead you're piloted on accident by C-3PO. And that happens during the pre-show, where he goes in there to do a little bit of maintenance, and then window closes and he gets stuck, and there's some sort of misinformation with the droids, and here he is, your terrible pilot. So a similar storyline, but this time, well, I think R2-D2's in the other one too, but this time R2-D2 is here to help out quite a bit.
Wait, okay, I want to share my fun, this is another fun fact that probably everybody in the world has figured out, but I just love, I'm the kind of person, I just saw this meme yesterday where like, there are people out there that get really excited about like, I'll watch an episode of television and I'll see some random actor that has like, two lines in the whole episode. And I'm like, oh my God, I know where that actor's from. He was in an episode of this other show that I watched in the 80s, and he had the same thing, like two lines in this episode. I don't know why I love that so much. Okay. Yeah. Now, granted, what I'm about to say is this person is a much bigger name, but I love this stuff. So the pre-show, right? You have the we'll call it like the flight attendant type robot. Mm-hmm. That's talking to you. I was kind of doing her voice a little earlier, like, yeah. Welcome to Star Tours, blah, 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 blah. Do you know who that's voiced by?
No.
Allison Janney.
Really?
Yes. I love her.
Yes. I remember the first time I went to go see the new ride, and I heard the voice, and I was like, oh my God, I know who that is. It was so exciting. She's, I don't know, just like how cool that she got asked to do that. And be a part of now the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and in such a low key way, she gets to be part of both like a Disney attraction and the Star Wars like canon. Right? That's really
I love
neat.
It.
It's kind of a dream come true.
And also, I'll just kind of go back to what I was saying earlier. So in this version of the ride, no stops here. We got everybody, right? We got Anthony Daniels. James Earl Jones is actually voicing Darth Vader in this one, which he didn't do in the original one. Carrie Fisher is here for Princess Leia. We have Patrick Warburton is here, which is great. And then Yoda is voiced by Frank Oz, who is the one who originally did it. Wow. So a much bigger lineup for this one. I think they were like, oh, yeah, Star Wars is big again? Yep, sign me up. I'm in. Let's do this.
But like, okay, maybe I'm misremembering this. Like, this was an era when I was working at Disney World. So I was very aware of Star Wars weekends and things like that. But Disney didn't own Lucas or Star Wars yet, did they?
I believe it was just like a partnership type thing, right?
Right.
Because they didn't buy them until it was definitely a Bob Iger thing, but it was like, I don't know what year it was.
We should find that out. Hold on.
Because I feel like it closed and then, I mean, because the following ones came out in 2015, so it was only 5 years later. They had to have...
So Disney acquired Lucasfilm in 2012, so it was the following year. So I guess that's what I mean. It's like, I'm a little surprised that they got, you know, all of these stars to come back, and they invested, obviously, so much into Star Tours on both coasts and internationally for something that was, you know, I was into it, and I lived in an environment where people were into it, but the new movies weren't even going to come out for a couple years. Like, it wasn't even part of the official Disney family yet. So, you know, well, maybe, of course, maybe they knew something we didn't do. It's not like they weren't having these talks years before, but
I would say there was definitely a big, I mean, cause you know, if you ever, if you went to the Star Wars weekends, that was, it became huge. I mean, I feel like it started off not small, but it definitely wasn't a big to do. And then as it got to the last years that they did it, I mean, it was like, I didn't even want to go anymore. It was so busy. Mm-hmm. And the lines to get into the merchandise shops and then the shows that they did, it was just out of control. So I feel like they knew that, like, because I think it was getting passed on, right? I feel like the adults were passing it on to their children, and now we have two generations that are loving this. I think they just, somebody was smart enough to go, I think this is really going to kick into gear here.
Yeah. Well, the generational stuff is very interesting. Were they doing Jedi Training Academy back then?
Yeah, they had, they were doing it. Wasn't it? Well, didn't they start it off just doing it at Star Wars weekends, and then they made it a permanent show?
Yeah, it was sometime between 2005 2010 that like Jedi Training Academy started, and then they built the stage for it, and it became an actual thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and Jedi Training Academy was a thing where if you went first thing in the morning over to Star Tours area, you could sign up your little kid to participate in a free kind of demonstration slash show later in the day. And they wore these sweet little robes, and they were taught how to, you know, fight with a lightsaber. And it was the sweetest kind of low key show ever. And very special for these little kids and parents to, you know, to see. And I think you're right with the like intergenerational, like passing on of something you're, because, you know, there are all these dorks dads in the audience who are like, oh my God, like this is something I'm sharing with my child.
Yeah. And I didn't, it's great.
Yeah. And maybe Bob Iger was standing also in a Jedi robe, just back in a tree watching this and thinking to himself, this isn't going anywhere.
Like, yeah, he was seeing the dollar signs.
In fact, let me go call Mr. Lucas.
Hey, George.
And offer him billions of dollars. Yeah, and what else can we say about the new... Oh, I mean, I guess the name itself is a little bit different.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's called Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, which I've been saying wrong for 10 years.
I have never said the after part.
Well, and if I were to say the second part, I would say The Adventure Continues.
Oh, I see.
But it's the slipping adventure, that S around. The Adventures Continue. Yeah. And I guess what the difference there is that it's saying there are many adventures to be had at Star Tours.
I mean, even though we never see them, there are multiple adventures. I
only get Darth Vader on that, like, segue. Right. Oh, that's something fun. So a new piece of the story that comes in, which I actually think is incredible, is you get stopped right away by Darth Vader, or is Kylo Ren on there? Mm-hmm. I've never gotten stopped by Kylo Ren. But they fly in on their floating Segways, and it's like, you have a rebel spy on board. And previously a photo has been taken of someone. I don't know if it's random. I don't know if either of you know that or have heard that. And that person shows up on the screen as the rebel spy, and then it's like, we're going to steal him, and then we fly away. But I love the Rebel Spy.
I think it's a cool... I mean, I've never been... Have either of you ever been the Rebel Spy?
No.
No, I haven't either. But I think it's cool. It's like a cool, like, immersive, fun little, like, you know...
Yeah, they sell a t-shirt that says, I was a Rebel Spy.
They should. Now, is someone choosing the Rebel Spy, or is it always, like, the same seat or something?
I genuinely don't know.
I don't know. I've always assumed it's just a random generator type thing, but I don't know.
But yeah, so what's here's with the continuity thing again. This like scenes matrix, if you will, you could be pulling scenes from the original trilogy, the prequels, or the like Disney-owned like Rey and Kylo Ren and all that too, which is really fun and exciting. But from a, like, where are we in this timeline perspective, none of it makes any sense. And it doesn't have to.
I was looking up because I thought for sure I was looking at the different options and places you can go, because I think one of them is you go into Naboo and you go to the Gungan city. Yeah, you do. That is an option. Yeah.
I love that one.
I get that one every time and it makes me so happy. But I literally was sitting here being like, was that a fever dream? Like, am I just making up things?
It's probably one of the more satisfying ones because you go underwater. Like, yes. That's fun. Yeah.
Does it have like a number? Like how many different options there are?
Well, there's like a first planet, and then there's like, you have it says spaceport escape. So between that, it could be, that's where you get your Darth Vader or your Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. Or it says that there's one with the Millennium Falcon and Stormtroopers, but I've never seen that one.
I think I've seen the Falcon before, but I don't know what the Stormtrooper one is.
And then planet one, it's either Hoth, where you have like the AT-ATs and you're on that ice plane, or Kashyyyk, where you're with the Wookiees and there's a speeder bike, which would be very cool.
That would be cool.
There's Tatooine, where you're in the middle of the pod races. So that's...
classic.
Yes.
I've done that one, yeah.
Or Jakku, and it's... the Millennium Falcon with Finn or Rey and some TIE fighters, which I remember when those movies came out, they added those in, and that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Then there's Endor, where 3PO sees the Death Star in the background, I guess.
Is this like potentially scene two?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, and that's the first planet. And then you get a hologram message.
Oh, right.
So it could be from either Yoda, Akbar, or Leia. And then I guess another hologram could have been Maz when the new movies came out.
I would love that. I've never seen that.
No, me either. Well, I think I did see that because I remember I went on it once when it first opened up and I was like, this is very cool. And then I couldn't write it again. So then I wrote it again when Force Awakens came out and they changed a bunch of things just to see what was new. Because they will make it so that if something is new or something is like a part of a story that they want you to see, they'll lock it in as the option.
Yeah, I feel like the Jakku one was like, because I think it was like right when the movie came out, it was like always, you always got it.
Yeah, and that's, especially when Batuu opened, Batuu was always your final planet that you went to.
Oh, that's so smart.
Right.
So then planet two, because then you jump through hyperspace again after you see the message, you could go to Coruscant.
Ooh, Coruscant, fancy.
Right, with star speeders. And then my favorite, Naboo, where you go into the Gungan city.
Yeah.
Yusa, Misa.
Yeah. Go to Geonosis, which is, and you get chased by Boba Fett's Slave One.
Oh, that's the...
Oh, I've never seen that either.
I have been in that one because it... Do you know in the movie when you're... Oh, gosh. When they do the seismic charges... When it's Jango Fett when he's chasing Obi-Wan Kenobi and going through the asteroid field, and then there's like those little charges that he blasts off, and then they do that weird like boom that it happens in the ride, and it's one of my favorite things like from the movie, and I love that they incorporated it into the ride.
Cool.
Another one is the Battle of Crait.
Ooh, love Crate.
Yeah, between the First Order and the Resistance. That must have been a newer one. And then the battle at Exegol.
Ugh, I hate Exegol.
Is that the last one they go to?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, Cheryl, you're out for writing this.
I will write it. I want the problem is I want to see the scene. So I will never be like, we're going to ride Star Tours. But if I'm with a group of people that are riding Star Tours, I will definitely go.
I'm in the same boat. I feel like if I'm with people that are like, oh, I want to go ride it, I'd be like, let's do it. But I will never be the one that says, I want to go ride Star Tours before we leave the park.
Yes.
But yeah, so Star Tours is fun. Don't take your 3D glasses when you leave.
No.
They are the same 3D glasses that they have at the new Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, except for those are all black and Ratatouille glasses are blue.
Oh, that's really fun. Are they, like, the new generation 3D glasses? They're, like, kind of intense.
They're not as intense as Pandora. Those ones are way crazy. But, yeah, they are, I mean, they are pretty intense.
They feel, like, less flimsy. I think I appreciate that also.
Yeah, it's not your old school Toy Story Mania or Muppet 3D Vision one.
Right.
Yeah. So, this, in a classic way, exits into a gift shop that I enjoy quite a bit.
I love it, except for when it rains. It's really obnoxious to try to exit in the rain there.
Oh, because it's just kind of backed up.
Yeah.
I hate that gift shop for, like, I love it when there's nobody there. Because it's Star Wars, right? It's like you want a nice Star Wars themed.
Yeah, unique merchandise in there.
But any other time when it's busy, I hate, because you can't get out. There's so many people that come in through the exit to go into the gift shop, and then there's people coming out, and there's people making lightsabers, and it was just like, I can't handle all these people. It just drove me absolutely insane.
I just don't think I've ever really noticed that, but thinking about it, that makes perfect sense. Also, people are making like lame-o lightsabers.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. They're like schlightsabers.
Yeah, they're making schlightsabers. Beep boop.
It's just too small. I get why they made it small, but like, it's just too small, especially for something Star Wars.
Well, and it sounds like we have a whole land to sell Star Wars merchandise. Like, let's close that down and like, right. Make it a thoroughfare. Like, I don't need this anymore.
Wasn't there like a thing there too where you could like, you could do pictures or something, like a photo op?
I think back in the day, but not lately.
Yeah, it was like another thing.
You could get your face on like Han Solo's body.
Yes. Like, please stop putting things in this gift shop.
Yes. But originally, the attraction was sponsored by Duracell, I think. Because I remember as you were exiting, there was a hologram of R2-D2 or something, but also the bunny. And then there would also be like Darth Vader breathing through like a thing. Because you're going down that ramp there.
I do not remember that. Isn't it wild that so many Disney attractions used to be sponsored by things?
Crazy.
Like everything at Hollywood Studios was. Actually, yeah. I think it was Energizer, not Duracell. Wait, which one has a bunny? Yeah, that one.
Energizer, yeah.
Then that one.
So...
Farewell. May the Force be with you all. Bye-bye now.
Nice.
That was my best Alice and Janie. Bye-bye now.
That's nice. I love with Rex where he's like, sorry, but it was my first time. Like, every time. Hey, we made it on time. You know, sorry. We are the adults that love going to Disney to just walk and drink. we're not going to buy the merch to get the merch. We're going and we see the merch and we're like, okay, maybe I can.
We're the kind of Disney fans who like Disney enough. You know, it's just enough. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. We should make exactly.
That into a yep. sticker.
Yeah.
Enough.
For those we Disney like fans enough. That like it enough.
Right. Right.